This is HPR episode 2552 entitled, What is TO? It is hosted by Clacky and is about 12 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, how does TO work, why would you want it, and what are its limitations?
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi, I'm Clacky. A week ago I was talking about MSIS 2. That was 5 minutes ago, and I've been looking at my phone, and another suitable episode that I can do on my way home from the bank is, what is STO? So, STO has a long history dating back to the 90s, which is pretty long in internet time anyway. So you have this situation that you're on a machine and you have something you want to build from source. So you take that thing and you configure, make, install, and then it's the question, where are you going to install it? If you are the administrator of the machine, you can probably just go with the defaults, put it in /usr/local, and that'll be fine. But then there's a new version of this thing coming out, and then you need to have some way to upgrade. Maybe you can just make install again on the new version and it will overwrite the old stuff and that will just work. Or maybe it won't, and if it does work, if you have a package that has removed some files since last time, those files will still be sloshing around there in your /usr/local. And what if you want to uninstall your package entirely? Then some packages offer a make uninstall. Most packages don't. Those that do may or may not work. So there are a couple of ways around this. On Debian there's a package, I forget the name now, but you can basically monitor your make install process and note all the files that you installed, and then it makes a Debian package out of what just happened. So that Debian package gets installed, and then you can uninstall it using the normal Debian tools. So that's one way. But there's also a more generic way, and I think it's the simplest possible package manager. The website says, and angry people on the internet have told me, that it's not a package manager. It's a what is it? It's a Symlink tree management software. Yeah, it's a package manager. The packages are just handled as Symlink trees. So what this is, what this means, is that you install your thing. Let's say you are a local user, so you're a non-root user, so you're doing this out of the necessity of being able to handle packages at all. You cannot use the Debian wrapper. Check install, I think it's called, the Debian wrapper. All you have is your local home directory, and that's it. What you do then is when you make install, if it's a nicely behaved auto-tools-like configured package, then you can configure with --home/clacky/.local, for example. And then when you install it, you can do make install --home/clacky/.local /STO /package name -version. So what that means is the package will think that it lives in just your home directory.local, but when you install it somewhere else. And the recommendation is you call it package name slash version, so that the next time a new version of this package comes out, you can just call that package name dash the new version. And then what you do is you symlink the versioned directory to a non-versioned directory with just a plain name. So I have my app 1.0. I install that to .local slash myapp 1.0, and then I symlink myapp dash 1.0 to my app. And then what I do is, if I have Stow installed, I just go to home directory.local slash Stow, and then I just Stow package name, and that's it. So it expects that in package name you will have the usual etc, lib, bin, etc. directories. And it will, if I lie to you, I will say that it will take all the files in there, it will create the according directory structure in your .local, and then we'll symlink all the files into that directory structure. It's a little bit cleverer than that in reality. If you have only one package that has a lib directory, you will not create a lib directory and call your files into there, it will just make your .local slash lib a symlink directed to the lib inside your package. So you save a couple of inodes there, and a couple of layers of indirection. Then the next time you go around and you install their app 1.0, then if that also has a lib directory, Stow will recognize that, hey, this is a symlink, but actually it's a symlink that I manage. It's linking to inside the Stow directory. So it will just split that up, make sure, okay, now it's a real .local slash lib directory, and I'm symlinking all the things from my app and their app into this directory. So this is all nice when you have self-contained packages and no dependencies. When you have dependencies, you have a couple of choices to make, and they are all bad in different ways. So you can say that, okay, I'm going to build, I have my lib, and then I'm going to build my app which depends on my lib. So I can either say, okay, my app depends on slash home slash klacke slash dot local slash lib slash mylib dot so. And that's going to work. But then if a new mylib comes out, let's say you had version 1.0 and version 1.1 comes out. According to semantic versioning, this 1.1 is supposed to be compatible with 1.0. And it probably is. And then in that case, yeah, you install your new 1.1 in your Stow mylib 1.1. You repoint your mylib symlink, and then you Stow dash capital R. This means go through my directories and check if there's any dead references to this package, and if so, delete them. And if I have any new references in the directory that are not represented as symlinks, then please symlink them. But what if 1.1 and 1.0 are not compatible? Maybe it breaks my app because someone made a mistake, or maybe you misunderstood their versioning scheme, or whatever. So in that case, you should have, instead of telling it to use just .local slash lib to find mylib, you should have told it instead, oh, you should have used .local slash stow/specific package version mylib-1.0/lib. You could always do that, but of course then you have a new problem that, okay, the 1.1 came out, it works just fine with my app, but my app is already compiled to use 1.0 and it's now locked on that directory. If you remove that directory, it's going to stop working. So you need to keep mylib 1.0 hanging around, and then maybe when my app 2 comes around, maybe you compile that with mylib 1.1, and now you've got a bunch of directories lying around and you don't know really which one depends on which. If you remove my app 1.0, of course you would be able to remove mylib 1.0 as well, but you have to know that, otherwise you'll just think, oh, better just have it lying around just to be sure. So if you get into these complicated situations, then it's time to graduate from Stow Academy and move on to get a doctorate in Nixer Geeks, because this is basically what they do on the next level. Everything depends on an absolute version. And when you remove things, you can garbage collect the things that they depend on. But I've already talked about that in another episode. So I will refer you back to the How Awesome is Geeks and Everyday Geeks Use episodes in the show notes. This has been Hacker Public Radio. You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Ba 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 ba